chocolate bar. And he received it. The word received in the Greek for that. Dekoman. Dekoman. Okay? This is important, understanding the differences in words. So I have another chocolate bar for anyone who wants it. Anyone who wants it can have this chocolate bar. If you want it, you can have this chocolate bar. Nobody wants this chocolate bar. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lambana. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. Even to them that believe in his name, were born not of the flesh, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. But to as many as received, lambano, lambano. Get off your chair, come up, take hold of the offer God gives. So we're in the book of 2 Thessalonians. What's our theme for the book of 2 Thessalonians? Theme.
Is your mic on?
Is your mic on?
Yeah.
I got it on. Yes.
Okay.
What's the theme for 2 Thessalonians?
That the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified.
Thank you. Hey, I made that easy. Come on, you know, chunk, chunk, chunk. Okay. That the name of the Lord may be glorified in you. If you recall, I wanted to look at the beginning of this year, I wanted to look at the book of Thessalonians. Things that were going on, particularly the virus that came up and all that, and a lot of people were thinking the end of times, the end of days, and the man of lawlessness. And I felt I needed to understand that text better. I've always kind of put it aside because what do I care about the man of lawlessness? I'm going to be in glory, you know, but I wanted to understand. Today's chapter, we're going to be looking at chapter 2, the man of lawlessness. Okay, very important. Hopefully I get it right. Like I say, wonderful words of life. All right. I'm on TV. How many of you remember the outline or the key verse? Let's try the key verse first. Key verse. For 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Amen. Therefore, and you're going to learn this today. Again, we're in 2 Thessalonians. So today, chapter 2, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15 is what I think is our key verse for the book. And it says there to stand firm and to hold fast. Okay. Remember, that's in the section we talk about as teaching, not in the section as training, but it sounds like training. All right. How about the outline? Can anyone remember the outline? First point of the outline, there's three chapters and a three-point outline. Okay. The first chapter should be real easy. Persecution's good. You already have a candy bar, so you can't get two. Not allowed to. Somebody else. Thank you. Hey, we got sharp with it. I've always known Greg to be real sharp. Greg does not miss it. Persecution. It's an introduction and persecution. How about the second one then? There we go. Did you? No, you didn't. Thank you. Preparation. That takes study. That takes writing it down from last week. Preparation for the day of the Lord. And the third point. Preparation for the day of the Lord and preparation for? You see it there? I know it's kind of difficult because it's all in there. The coming of the Lord. So no one gets that one. I'll give that one to Whitney. Always have a candy bar left over for the person in the sound room, right? Always. All right. Thank you very much. A three-point outline. Introductions, chapter 1, preparation for the day of the Lord, and preparation for the coming of the Lord. Two different things. So that's our outline for it. Okay. By the way, blame it on Karen if I do that, because Karen says I do a much better job if I give out candy. I don't know, something about getting more relaxed or whatever. So now you're blaming on her. No, it's a cheap trick. I know, it's a cheap trick handing out candy, but it works. But it works. So, so I'm cheap. All right, the key verse. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. All right, things. I always like to look for keywords, faith and believe. Watch for those. Afflict. We see a lot of that in lawlessness. Triads. Remember, triad is three words that sound very similar or are oftentimes combined together. You're not signaling me, right? Okay, he's just playing with a camera. I was down there. I know. I was down there, so he has to lower it, and then I'm back up here. So, okay. Believe me, they don't want to see me. They want to see this. Okay, so triads, persecutions, afflictions, sufferings. So understanding these three things, watch for it. And then the first person singular, I always look for when Paul trips into first person. I'm going to run through back. We got a lot today, so I'm going to run through this thing real fast. We've done backgrounds before. This is the same exact background from 1 Thessalonians. By the way, again, if you want my PowerPoint presentation, either by PDF or in PowerPoint, they're free. Just talk to the person in the back or come talk to me. But remember, this is one of the early books of the Bible. Paul is in his second missionary trip. He's gone to Philippi. It's his entrance into Thracia and Macedonia. I'm sorry, I do pronounce it with the Greek pronunciations. Macedonia, but the C should be hard. Macedonia. It's like I went in the restaurant the other day and asked for a Kaiser salad. The girl looked at me weird. Okay. Nevertheless, so you go to, yeah, see, yeah, like Kaiser Wilhelm, right? No, it is Kaiser. It is pronounced Kaiser. Anyway, so he goes to Thessalonia, and the people there receive him. The Gentiles there receive him, but the Jews are very hostile in Thessalonica, very hostile. And so they run him out of town. They take Jason, who's hosting him, and they beat him. And they run Paul out of town, and he runs to Berea. Berea, remember, is a place where the Jews heard the message from Paul, and they went and searched the scriptures. I love that because I came from California. There's a Berean church in California. I don't know if you know of it out here. But they're probably the only other church I know that really teaches the word of God. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. So brethren in Berea receive the word. But the Jews from Thessalonica go to Berea because they hear Paul's there, and they persecute in Berea. So Paul and Silas and Timothy, they go down to the shore. Paul gets in a boat and heads to Athens, and he sends Timothy and Silas back into Thessalonica because he's concerned about the saints there in Thessalonica. Run through the, I do this for Josh. Someday we got to get together, right? Show him how I did this. Anyway, so that's Paul's journey. Berea is over here. They come to the shore. Then Paul, Silas and Timothy run back to Thessalonica to find out. Well, Paul comes down here to Athens, has a small encounter in Athens, and then runs to Corinth where he meets Priscilla and Aquila, right? And he waits there for Timothy and Silas. And Timothy and Silas show up, and they have great news. They have great news that the believers in Thessalonica are thriving. They're growing. They're doing marvelous. Matter of fact, Thessalonica is a model church. If you ever want to see how to organize your church, the church of Thessalonica is a model church to all Macedonia. That's Thrace, that's Macedonia, and that's Achaia. Okay? Anyway, so they come with great news of Thessalonica. And so Paul writes the first book of Thessalonians from Corinth. Oops, there we go. Come here. Oh, it's that. From Corinth. Okay, and it's a great book of encouragement. But after the book goes, he hears that the church in Thessalonica is troubled by something. And so that's what 2 Thessalonians is about. Very shortly after 1 Thessalonians, from 2 Thessalonians. And he's addressing an issue, and chapter 2 today is that issue. So again, the outline, let's read together, if you will. Follow along with me. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Follow along in whatever book you've got. Now we request, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, or to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord, or the day of Christ, if you've got King James, has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and a man of lawlessness, or man of sin, is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Oops, I'm supposed to be forwarding, sorry. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, to whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearing of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, and all with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will not believe. So that they will believe what is false, in order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, here's our key verse. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope and grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. So again, a quick look. I've broken our message up today into, again, an outline of three. The revelation of the man of lawlessness, the restraining of the man of lawlessness, and responses to the man of lawlessness. Verses 1 through 5, 6 through 9, and 10 through 17 there, if you want to take notes. All right, so let's look in more detail. This is the revelation of the man of lawlessness, to understand who he is. Okay, so Paul is responding to an issue out there, and here's the issue. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken, from your composure, or be disturbed by a spirit or a message, or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord or the day of Christ has come. I want to break this down a little bit. Now, we request of you, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. What's that referring to? The rapture. Remember, the first letter talks about the rapture. And remember, it was very keen. It spoke of the rapture, and then it spoke of the day of the Lord. It spoke of the rapture. And I explained back then, that's on purpose. Because the rapture happens first. We firmly believe that the rapture comes before the day of the Lord. Now, we had to explain what the day of the Lord means. The day of the Lord is speaking about a day of judgment, a day of wrath. The day of, for example, the days of Noah, where God judged the whole earth and brought rain down. That was a day of the Lord. Sodom and Gomorrah, another time where God had to bring forth wrath and judgment upon sin in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there is a day coming when God will deal with sin on the earth. And if you read the book of Revelation, we call it the tribulation. We call it the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. The latter half, 3.5 years, the day of Jacob's troubles. The day of Jacob's troubles. So tribulation is coming where the whole world will cry out to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the eyes of God. The whole world will recognize this is God's judgment on us. And rather than turn to God, they seek death, only to find out that if they get death, that ends up even worse. That ends up even worse. So the day of the Lord is a day of wrath, a day of trembling, when God has to act because God has to judge sin. But the day of Christ deals with our expectation of hope, to see Christ in glory, to see Christ exalted, whether in heaven or on earth. We desire to see him exalted and lifted up. So the day of Christ refers to the rapture, where we shall see him face to face. We shall be changed in an instant and be like unto him. And we shall go to him and we shall celebrate the great marriage supper of the Lamb. A great time. Meanwhile, tribulation begins on the earth. We're not sure how long after the rapture the tribulation begins. Okay, so here we see that the gathering of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering to him. Now down here, I gotta touch on a Lord or Christ. The oldest manuscripts, the manuscripts closest to the original. Remember, we don't have an original. I don't care who's told you. We do not have any original copies. It is the original that is inspired of God and flawless. And flawless. What we have is a very close representation. But we have many documents who are very old, and we have much more documents that are much newer. Okay. And how you, and which Bible you have oftentimes comes down to which a philosophy. If you have a King James, the philosophy there is the more, the better. More copies say Day of Christ, we're going to put Day of Christ. So the King James, the New King James, has Day of Christ. The older manuscripts, the philosophy there is the closer you get to the original, the more likely no error. Okay, so that's the philosophy. New American Standard is one of those that uses that. Remember, I gave a message on this once before. I adamantly say, don't get mired down in the war, the battle between these two. Please don't. Okay. There are those who preach the gospel according to King James. No, we don't teach that here. You like King James? Great. It's a great Bible. You will not be misled by King James. You like New American Standard? Great. It's a great Bible. You will not be misled by the New American Standard. If you study the Word of God, which hopefully you do, you should study with both of them in front of you. Understanding. And there's one principle I will echo over and over again. Never base your firm doctrine on questionable text. Never base firm doctrine on questionable text. There are some people who want to make a whole preaching around questionable text. I don't want to make this the point of the whole message. That is not it. What you find is the question seems to be, and I feel comfortable that Bill McDonald sees it this way too. I like landing where Bill McDonald, I don't go to Bill first to find out where should I land. I land, then I try to see, am I far off from Bill? You understand? Okay, and when I land and I say, I think this is what's going on, then I go read Bill, and Bill and I are very close. Bill also agrees that the day of the Lord should be the original, the day of the Lord, that seems to be the problem. Now, what Bill says he thinks their problem is that they believe they are in the day of the Lord. They believe they are in the tribulation period. The church at Thessalonica is seeing tremendous persecution, and they believe this is obviously the day of the Lord. This is obviously the day of the Lord. And so Bill says that was their concern, that they're in the middle of a tribulation period, or they're in the beginning of the tribulation period. I think just slightly different. I think what they're worried about, let me ask you, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and you found yourself in the tribulation period, what would your question be? My question would be, wait a minute, the rapture. Wait a minute, how'd you miss me? You know, I've trusted only in your blood. How am I left behind? You see it? I think that's the problem that the Thessalonians are having. The rapture is supposed to happen first. That's what we got in the first letter. And now we're in the tribulation. How did we get left behind? So I think that was their concern regarding the coming of the Lord and our gathering together with him. That's what your problem is. You're worried. How'd we miss it? But he's going to address the day of the Lord. You're not in the day of the Lord. Because what he says here, that you may not be quickly from your composure or disturbed, that to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. If you have King James, it says, is at hand. Is at hand is fine. It means has arrived and is here. It doesn't mean has arrived and is gone. It means has arrived and is here. At hand is okay, but it could be mistaken for is at the door and is about to come. No, the issue here is it has come. It's in the perfect active case. So perfect meaning it's happened and it continues. That's why why English grammar is important, by the way. That's why English grammar is important. It helps you understand Greek. All right, so let's go on. So let no one in any way deceive you. That's the work of the devil. Let no one deceive you, for it, that is the day of the Lord, will not come except the apostasy come first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Okay, so it, again, the day of the Lord or the day of Christ. You notice that the day of Christ, if it's referring to Christ coming to the earth and establishing his kingdom, the day of Christ, which is also, that's where he is acknowledged king on the earth. Okay, if it's referring to that, that can't happen until the tribulation period happens, the day of the Lord. Okay, so it still works out that way. But if it's the rapture, to say that the rapture can't happen until the apostasy happens first, I don't know if we can go that far, you see? All right, so unless the apostasy comes first, apostasy. I've heard one individual who once taught, and I was real uncomfortable with it, that taught that the apostasy had to do with the rapture. Rapture is a taking up quickly. And a like unto that was when they wanted to stone Jesus. They went and got stones to stone Jesus. And they don't go over and say, let me take a look at that, see if I like that stone. I don't know. Let me try another stone. No, they go and they grab a stone and pick it up. To hurl it. It's a fast, quick picking up. That's what the rapture is. It's a fast, quick picking up. Okay. It is not a falling away. The word here for apostasy means to turn away from a standing. That's what the word means, to turn away from a standing. Here is a standing, here is a truth, and you're turning away from it. The standing is, we believe, is referring to Christianity. All that is taught of the person of Christ, all that is taught of the church. It's not necessarily the rapture of the church, but all that is taught of the church and of the person of Christ. I find it very remarkable in these days. I'm not trying to say that tomorrow we're going to see the rapture. I will tell you, we may see the rapture. There's nothing holding back this time. See, the apostasy happens first before the rapture. No man knows the hour. Well, we know it can't be now because the apostasy hasn't happened. No, no man knows the hour, okay? But the apostasy, a falling away, a turning away, I find it very remarkable in churches today. We don't want to name the name of Jesus. You know, we want to give all good niceness. Cotton candy is what I call it. We want to give cotton candy. We want a pea, you know, Twinkies. But we don't want to give real food in the churches today. Praise the Lord. We teach the word of God here. We teach Christ and him crucified here. The apostasy comes first. The man of lawlessness, again, if you have a King James that has the man of sin, that's fine. Sin is lawlessness. A sin is a subset of lawlessness. Matter of fact, I would even say lawlessness is sin. Therefore, they're one and one and matching. Anybody here understand one and one and matching? Okay, one and one and matching. That means everything in one set is also in the other set. They not just overlap, they're one and the same. Sin. So that's why man of sin, if you've got that in your Bible, that's fine. The difficulty I have with the King James, I have no problem with it. Oftentimes, I believe what's happening is the early church, not foul, as a Catholic church, well, but they believe themselves custodians of the text and will change it in order to make it more consistent, okay? So that's why oftentimes you'll find in the old manuscripts, the Lord Jesus. But then someone will add, no, the three titles. Got to have all three titles. Let's put, okay. That, my opinion's worthless, but I'll throw it out there anyway. But the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, is revealed. Revealed means to take off the cover so that what was hidden is no longer hidden. It's the same word for the revelation of Jesus Christ, to reveal to the world the person, who Jesus really is. So the revelation of the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, son of perdition. I only know of one other person who was named that. Who's that? Judas. Jesus said, of all you've given me, none were lost except for the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. By the way, if you were here and breaking of bread, this was the text I had to look at and consider. Here's an individual, the man of the son of destruction. He's an individual. He's a person. This is the Antichrist, by the way. This is the Antichrist. The second, the first beast that comes out of the ocean is the Antichrist. The second beast that comes out of the earth is the false prophet. Okay, and then the dragon, of course, is Satan, the serpent of old. That's the book of Revelation. Okay, the son of destruction is the Antichrist to come. Okay, it's a person, comes out of the ocean, usually referring to Gentiles, the Gentile nations. Okay, comes out of the Gentile nations. I've heard someone say that the Antichrist had to be a Jew. I didn't understand that at all. I still don't understand. If you've heard that, if you know, if you understand, come and tell me. I don't understand because I see him coming out of the ocean. The son of destruction, right, who opposes what? Who opposes every so-called object of worship or God and exalts himself above every so-called object of worship or God and takes his seat. I think I put in, yeah, God, okay. In my copy, I left out God, so I got it up there. every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple displaying himself as God. If you recall book of Daniel, if you recall the book of Daniel, as a matter of fact, I want to turn to Matthew. Turn, if you will, to Matthew. I got to wake everybody up. So turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew 24 in your Bibles. I don't have it copied for people on Zoom. Matthew 24. Here, the situation is Jesus has just said that the temple will be destroyed, okay? And then his disciples come in verse 3, it says, and he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Now I'm going to skip on down to verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who was on the housetop not go down to get things out of his house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall. This is the tribulation period. By the way, this appears in Matthew. It does not appear in the other texts. It's for Jews during the tribulation period that Jews would understand and see what's happening. And so we see here that at the middle of the tribulation period, this Antichrist sets himself up as God. It's not that these things have to happen before the rapture of the church. No, it's this guy here is going to be revealed. And these are the things he's going to end up eventually doing. Okay, but it's not that these things particularly have to happen first. Who opposes it, who and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? So Paul didn't spend a whole lot of time in Thessalonica, but he sure spent a lot of doctrine there. Remember, we don't have the Bible at these times. We don't have a collection of letters at this time. All you've got is the Old Testament, and you have new revelation being given. And Paul is giving new revelation to the believers in Thessalonica, and it gets recorded here in our text today. So going on to the next verse 6, you'll recall this begins the second section. First section was on the revealing of the man of lawlessness. The second one is restraining of the man of lawlessness. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. The same word, revealed. He was hidden. Now we take off the hiding cloak. But you know what restrains him now. Okay? We're going to get to that in a little bit. We're talking about restraining. When I backed up the revelation of the man of lawlessness, you saw he was going to be revealed. Okay, now we're seeing the restraining. What restrains him now? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's at work during the time when Paul is writing this letter. The mystery of lawlessness is at work. It means it continues going until the man of lawlessness. I remember what caught my eye, and this happened several years ago, and I'm sorry, I will name names. I remember watching as Barack Obama was in the office, and he got away with anything he wanted. And it seemed to me he was discarding the Constitution. I got a pen and a phone. You don't have to go through Congress. I got a pen and a phone. Wait a minute. No, Congress. You got to go through Congress. No, I got a pen and a phone. That concerned me. And so that was a reason. I want to understand. I'm seeing lawlessness. We're seeing it today. We're seeing people rejoicing over going around law, getting away with going around law. We don't need law. Matter of fact, they encourage laws. All they do is they limit us. Cast it aside. Cast the Constitution aside. Cast law aside. Let's cast aside our law enforcement. They only get in our way. Lawlessness. I remember, I told you this before, as a young believer, as I understand the man of lawlessness is the same as the Antichrist. When I study the book of Revelation, when Jesus finally comes, at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus comes and we have what's called Armageddon. Armageddon is not the end of the world. Armageddon is the end of lawlessness. Because you've had 7 years of lawlessness. The man of lawlessness is in charge. And you have 7 years of lawlessness. And finally, Jesus comes and he establishes peace. And he establishes law. And he rules with a rod of iron. And he deals with sin. It's the end of lawlessness. It's the establishment of peace. And what do the nations do? They flee to the man of lawlessness and say, let's defeat this guy. He wants to come and establish law. And I'm going, how in the world can people, sane, intelligent people, flee to a man who's known for his lawlessness? It just made no sense to me until about 8 years ago. And I'm watching it. like wisdom, looks out its windows at the naive and going, are you nuts? Are you absolutely nuts? You're desiring lawlessness? Do you know what that's going to end up with? The days of Noah. We're going to be in the days of Noah. And these people want this. It makes no sense to me. They lust after lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, a lusting for doing away with law. I think that's what that is, that mystery of lawlessness being revealed. Mystery in the Bible is something that you did not see until it's revealed. And Paul is revealing lawlessness, the desire of lawlessness. It's already at work. And he who restrains will do so until he's taken away. Okay, here again, that word restrain. He who restrains. You know what restrains him. And he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. So there's a question about who this is and all kinds of arguments. Again, I like where I land with when I land somewhere, and I thought it was rather obvious. And I go, okay, Bill, what do you think? By the way, I knew Bill, not really great, but I studied under the guy. No one more humble than Bill. And if you come up with a different answer, Bill's glad. Matter of fact, Bill is very hesitant to share some things that he believes because people hold on his word like his word was the Bible. And he's like, no, I have my opinions. Okay, so I like when I land at least near to him. So Bill comes up with the Holy Spirit. He who restrains is the Holy Spirit. I can't land anywhere else because remember Gabriel faced a demon and was defeated. That's my watch telling me it's close to quiet time. But you remember the angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel and he was held up by an angel. And he had to have Michael, the archangel, help him to defeat in order to go on forward, like Michael ran block for him, right? So he who restrains, I can't see anyone but the Holy Spirit, the one who can restrain this one. He holds him back. He keeps him until he is taken out of the way. What's that referring to? When's the Holy Spirit taken out of the way? Rapture of the church. The Holy Spirit works in the body of Christ, convicts the world of sin and of righteousness, okay? But when he is taken out of the way, when the church of Christ is lifted up, the whole world rejoices. They're finally gone. We finally got rid of them, you know? And the Holy Spirit's gone, and they get to party. Lawlessness. And the man, and so the one who restrains is taken out of the way, and that's when he is revealed, the man of lawlessness. Then that lawless one will be revealed. There's that word revealed again. Revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearing of his coming. That's in the book of Revelation. We won't skip there now because my watch is ready to electrocute me. But it's referred to that in the book of Revelation when the when Christ comes to the earth, he's on a white horse, and out of his mouth proceeds a two-edged sword for with to slay the nations. And he takes the beast, the first beast, which is the Antichrist, and he takes the false prophet, and he casts him in the lake of fire. And he takes the dragon and puts him in the abyss for 1,000 years. And he establishes peace. And there's a tremendous slaughter. This is no longer a baby in a manger. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, whose robe is drenching with blood. That is the one who is coming. Now, that is the one who is coming is referring back to the man of lawlessness, not to Jesus. When I first read that, it's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? No, it's referring back to the man of lawlessness, because whose accord with the activity of Satan, that's the Antichrist. Remember in the book of Revelation, Paul doesn't have book of Revelation, by the way, when he's writing this. It hasn't been written yet. Okay. But this is so consistent with the book of Revelation, it's mind-boggling. Okay. So his activity is in accordance with the activity of Satan. He's empowered by the dragon. we have in Revelation. With all powers and signs and false wonders. What's a false wonder? A false wonder is something to draw you off, to draw you away from the truth. It's a lie. It's a wonder to draw you away from the truth. Responses. So I have to run through this quick. Responses. We have a response of the world, and we have a response of Christians. So the response of the world. With all deception and wickedness. I'm sorry, I got to turn my notes too. With all respect, deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. The word love there, agape, whoops. Hello. Word love there is agape and truth, the love of the truth. What's going on here? Notice it doesn't say did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not say did not receive the gospel. It says did not receive the love of the truth. What's going on here? What's going on here? A love of the truth is that desire to know truth. When I was an unbeliever studying nuclear engineering, studying physics in school, I had on my dorm room wall, I had a poster. Poster said, the search for truth will set you free, even if you never catch up with it. I love that one because that's what I was doing. I was searching for truth in science. And I will tell you, science will not lead you astray. There is truth in science. Science doesn't lie. God creates science so that you would see him. It's his fingerprint. And it's remarkable. I didn't see for so many years. But science, the problem is scientists lie. Gruber, Jonathan Gruber. And that's my watch. Yeah, that's my watch telling me time to shut up. Oops. Forgive me. I will run through real quick, but I do respect that we have kids in nursery. Love of the truth is that desire for truth. They would not receive it. Matter of fact, that word receive, that's why I did the little thing today. That word receive is dekomai. That word is dekomai. It was given, but rejected. Imagine I give you a piece of candy and say, no, thank you. I thought, sure, somebody would, but no, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. If you desire the truth should lead you to God, his word, the cross, and Christ. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, a deluding. What's the difference between deceive and delude? Deceive is to get you to believe something that's not true. Get you to believe something as true that isn't really true. Delude draws you away. There's an action going on with delude. You draw away from the truth. So they get you to believe and then say, come over here. Come over here. You see that? A deluding spirit. God will send upon them a deluding, one that leads astray. Influence, a deluding influence. That's just the one who has capability. One who has a capability. I tell you again, I'll use Obama as an example. He was incredible. I call him the flim-flam man. He's incredible at being able to delude people, to draw them away so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged who did not believe. Again, this is God allowing those who would reject the love of the truth. God allows them to be revealed as utterly wicked. Sin is allowed to be utterly wicked. They would not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, the days of Noah. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of God, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the faith in the truth. You notice that? They believe the truth. They rejected the love of the truth, but these believe the truth. For it was for this he called you through our gospel that you may gain to the glory of Christ. What does that mean? You're going to be glorified like unto Christ? No. It means that when Christ stands before his Holy Father, he is in the midst of a people, and they are his glory. Do you desire to be a glory of Christ before his Father. I desire to be maybe a small jewel on his gown. I may be standing in the back, you know, with all the tall people. No, I may be in the back, but I desire to be a glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm. Here's our key verse, our memory verse. So then, stand firm and hold to the traditions. Remember, we don't have a Bible. Hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may the Lord himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort, they're in the midst of tribulation, has given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. Comfort and strengthen your heart for every good work and word. Let's give thanks. Father, I do want to thank you again so much for your word, the power of your word. Thank you for the revelation of these things. Lord, I do pray that this week, this month, this year, and to come, that we will stand firm and hold to, like the 300 that would stand firm against the horde and hold their shield strong, that we would be standing firm in your word and hold to the truths you've given us. We pray for the glory of Christ. We long for the glory of Christ. And I do pray if there be any hearing us here, hearing us in the future on the website, that they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior. We thank you again for your love now. In Jesus' name.